Welcome to Project Apology. My name is Areej Elmi, and I'm your host. Over the next 40 minutes or so, you're going to hear the story of a young Muslim woman in Canada who has experienced trauma in her relationship with a parent. In the episode, you will hear her read a letter that she has written from the perspective of a parent. You'll then hear her provide some context of the letter and share how she is coping with the consequences of the trauma in her life. Before we begin, I'd like to give you a content warning. We touch on many difficult subjects in these episodes, including sexual abuse, disordered eating, physical abuse, and neglect. This material can be hard to hear. It was certainly hard for me to hear at times, and it was harder still for the women to live through. If you need to take a break while listening, do so. And if you need support, please go to our website, www.projectapology.com, where we have a number of resources listed for counseling and family violence. Episode 5, Even Anything Would Have Just Felt Better. Meet Lily. Lily is in her late 20s. Her letter is addressed to her father, a man who is absent from her life and who manages to also be intrusive at the same time. Any conversation that she has with her father about his absence leaves her feeling disoriented. She describes his absence with the perfect analogy. It's like untangling a knot while helping the remaining parent untangle their own. It's messy work. Lily teaches us a lot about the empowering ways that anger can feel and how lonely shame can make us feel as well. For her, key to any solution is the village. No matter how different we each are, we each carry trauma that makes us more alike than we can ever realize. Here's Lily with her letter.
I want to write you this letter after 27 years too long. As I've grown older through the years and watched you grow, I have grown deeply ashamed of my absence in your life all this time. I've made excuses for my behavior, and I believe that while I'm in this world, I owe it to my daughter to take accountability for my actions all these years. As a little girl, you often asked me why I never visited you in Canada. I often blamed your mother and her family for ostracizing me. I also told you the tickets and stay were too expensive. The last time I visited Canada, you were 6 years old. I know you hold the memory with bitterness. I often visited Iran and made you feel insignificant and small to me. That I cared more to save up for those trips instead of seeing you, my only daughter and youngest child. You confronted me on my actions and I continued to dismiss and belittle them whilst taking no responsibility. I made you mature quickly, trying to fill the gaps I consistently left behind and refused to take ownership of. I harmed you and then swept my actions under the rug when the family caught on. Instead of act like an adult, a father, I consistently blamed your mother for all possible negative events associated with me. I also harmed your mother long before you entered the world. I charmed her into a marriage and quickly showed her my true colors only months into our marriage. I cheated, I yelled, I emotionally manipulated her and caused a lot of distress that was later carried by you throughout your life to support her and her mental wellness. I broke your mother and left her, and the only other woman of my blood to put the pieces back together. I put a burden on you to support your mother emotionally and financially when that role should have been held by me. It was unfair and cruel. I know you hold much of the stress to untangle our family from the mess I made. That you often mediate and hold space, that you do so even on your last limb. I know you face precarity, vulnerability, and even more abuse because I couldn't model good fatherhood and manhood for you. that even anything would have felt just better. I'm so sorry for the pain that I have caused and burdened you with throughout the years. I am so desperately sorry I couldn't acknowledge this until now, but especially that some of the pain and struggle does not have an undoing. I'm sorry that you had to become a strong woman not despite me and my absence, but for it. I'm sorry it's hard to think of your childhood. I'm sorry it's been so lonely all this time. I'm not sure how to carry forward together or how a relationship may mend. But I know what a grave mistake I've made, and for how disgustingly long. I hope you can see and hear how deeply sorry I am. I hope that I can do something to rebuild a relationship I so cherish to have with you. I take no credit for the woman you've become, but I hope to model for you moving forward the father I had hoped I'd been.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Very powerful.
Yeah. How are you doing right now?
Emotional.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think, I can't even imagine him saying that. Mm-hmm. Any of that.
Yeah. There was a point there where, you know, like you said, it was emotional, but it felt extra emotional, mm-hmm. right? When you were, I think, the first time acknowledging Dad's impact on Mom and yeah. then how that then impacted you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what was happening as you read that?
I think a lot of the challenges I have with my mom were inherently influenced by, like, his harm on her,
mm-hmm.
you know, and exasperated. Like, I think that a lot of, like, my mom holds a lot of anxiety and trauma of her own, and no one's been able to tell her, hey, like, you know, what you're experiencing is trauma, right? Mm-hmm. And literally, like, I have to do that.
Mm.
Like, I have to, like, have these conversations with her and tell her, hey, like, you know how this thing worries you, like, more than I should? That's because you've experienced trauma in your life and it's triggering.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I feel like, you know, if it's, like, a tangled, like, piece of cord, like, I've been trying to, like, slowly untangle it for her
mm-hmm.
while also untangling my own. Right? Mm-hmm. And when you have, like, one hand untangling a string on this side and another tangling a different knot, like, you can only do so much.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it feels like you don't have, like, the full capacity yeah. to do both.
Yeah.
Because both are kind of needed.
Mm-hmm.
And one hand isn't enough to do both, it feels. Yeah. Yeah. You know, and you talked about, you know, you weren't sure which parent
yeah.
you were going to write the letter
mm-hmm.
from. So I'm curious how you came to decide that it would be Dad for this one.
I think I often, like, dissociate from my dad
mm-hmm.
or try to not acknowledge his presence. Like, I acknowledge him in his absence
mm-hmm.
a lot. And this, like, made him present for
mm-hmm.
me, you know, which is new. I think, like, I can say, like, hey, my dad's not in my life. But then to think that he would one day come and acknowledge his absence and, like, be present in my life. And I don't know, it's something I've never explored before. So I thought I would try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What was it like writing from his perspective?
It's funny because one of the first things I thought was he wouldn't write in English.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That came to mind because mm-hmm. I just thought, like, oh, my dad would say this in Farsi,
mm-hmm.
but I can't write Farsi
mm-hmm.
or, like, put it as eloquently into the letter and express what I want to say. Yeah. And then, I don't know, just writing it from his perspective, it almost feels like a story. Like, okay. It feels, I don't know, I can't even imagine that he would be able to do this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I realize I'm really emotional because I've dissociated a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's what I do when, like, feelings are very real. I tend to, like, fall into more storytelling as opposed to feeling. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it certainly, you know, it captures.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, you talked about, you know, that you've become a strong woman.
Yeah.
Because of his actions, but then later on also saying, but I will take no credit.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a really interesting tension, yeah. Right? That he kind of created the situation in which you had to become who you are, but he doesn't deserve credit for it.
So, yeah.
Yeah. How are you doing right now?
Definitely, I feel like when I first started writing, it was very hard. And I couldn't, like, get into it. And then I started to get angry at some parts. Mm-hmm. And, like, I was thinking, like, oh, am I going to, like, voice my resentment in this letter, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think of the last part I wrote, like, disgustingly long or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, like, that's how I feel. And I would want him to apologize that way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think at first I was thinking, like, how would he say this? Mm-hmm. Like, how would he? And then I just started getting into, like, what upset me and what I want him to apologize for.
Mm-hmm.
So beginning, it was a bit harder. And then as I flowed through, I could kind of feel it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And like you said, that strong word of disgust that kind of signified the feeling. Yeah. So that was writing it. Then I had you picture yourself in a chair.
Yeah.
What was that like?
That's hard for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I would have to picture myself as a child.
Hmm.
And I've always struggled with that. Yeah. I feel like this letter could have been longer. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to... I could picture myself being him and reading it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I mean, now that I'm saying this, I'm like, that would have been very painful for him to read to, like, a younger me or, like, a childhood me, right?
Mm-hmm. So to acknowledge to you at that point, that would have been, for him, a difficult thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how about for you, though? Just picturing yourself.
Myself as a...
Yeah, hearing something like that.
Yeah, I think I would have been in, like, disbelief a little bit, but also, like, I don't know, maybe relieved.
Hmm.
Maybe relieved is the word.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kind of like I can breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, release a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
just imagining that to kind of,
to have someone, like, acknowledge their absence or, like, what shit they should have held, because I feel like I hold that, and then to have someone be like, actually, let me take that back. Yeah.
That's what that would have been like, getting that from him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you also had me, you know, sit and witness this reading, right? So I'm curious, what was it like to be witnessed as you were doing it?
Vulnerable?
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, I like to think I can be very vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
but I realize, like I mentioned, associating. But then also avoiding. I avoid things that are really deeply, like, that I feel deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my dad, I avoid him. Yeah. Or, like, talking about my childhood, I avoid it, right? Mm-hmm. And actually, a really eye-opening moment for me was when someone asked me
they were like, oh, like, I had been friends with them, like, maybe for a year and a bit. And they were like, hey, like, I want to ask you something. They're like, I'm not sure how to ask this. But, like, is your dad alive? Mm-hmm. You know? And I realized it's because I never talk mm-hmm. about him. That people, like, have no idea, mm-hmm. like, if he's in my life. But, yeah, that was the extent of my avoidance.
Yeah. Which says to me, like, yeah, dad, the, you know, it's
a soft, yeah, right? It's a tender subject.
Yeah. Yeah. That you don't want to, you know, necessarily talk about all the yeah. time.
Sure.
So, you know, earlier you did say getting an apology like this from him is unfathomable.
Yeah.
Right? So can you talk about why it would never happen?
I just think he lacks the ability to take accountability. Hmm. And throughout my life, he's consistently refused. Hmm. He often victimizes himself when being confronted. And I always say, like, sometimes, like, when I was younger, I would ask him, you know, like, why weren't you there in my life? Mm-hmm. And then somehow at the end of, like, a 10-minute conversation, I would be apologizing to him. Mm-hmm. Very, like, manipulative, like, and it was confusing, you know? Also, I was younger. I didn't have as much, like, self-awareness. But then I remember, like, leaving that conversation and thinking, wait, what just happened? So it was very difficult to talk to him, but also, like, I don't know, it was difficult to confront him, but then even, like, within that conversation, like, I didn't know what was happening, and, so yeah, I would think something dramatic would have to happen for him to actually be like, oh, I messed up, or I made mistakes, you know?
Yeah. Like, times when you wanted him to take account, it would instead be this really disorienting experience for you.
Disorienting. Yeah, and, like, afterwards, like, angering. Mm. And then I would always, like, time would pass and I'd be like, oh, let me try and, like, rekindle my relationship with my father. And I don't think at the time I even knew the word accountability. Like, I didn't even know that someone can hold their actions, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, like, I would just leave kind of being, like, confused and then forget, like, trying to remember, like, wait, why didn't it work? Like, I couldn't even process it. And then I would try again, and the same thing would happen. Like, I would leave kind of, like, just confused, you know? And then in reflection, I'd kind of be like, wait, I tried to confront him, but what happened in that conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then just stop trying. Like, after a certain point, I think I couldn't name it, but I was like, this is going nowhere. And, like, you know, I don't feel any sort of relief or gratification in terms of our conversation. So I just stopped.
Stopped kind of asking for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Can you tell me more about, communication with your dad? What was that like? Like, obviously, it sounds like it was frustrating when you try to get him to acknowledge things. Yeah. But beyond that, what was it like with him?
So my dad lives abroad. So I don't see him. And when I've seen him, it's usually been when I visited that country. To see my brother, typically, who lives there. And then I would go there. And then, like, maybe for a little while, I would, like, stay with my dad. And then come back home. So this would happen maybe every, like, 5 years, then another time was 7 years. So very sporadically. And apart from that, his interactions with me have been very, like, he won't talk to me for the full year. And then on my birthday, he'll always, like, call. Mm-hmm. And now it's reached a point where I've specifically said, like, one of my brothers has contact with him. And I said, I don't want him to contact me. And now it's become very intrusive. Like, now he'll, like, call me. Mm. I have, like, 5 numbers in my phone that say dad on it, so I know to reject them. But he'll call me, and then I won't pick up, and I'll go to voicemail, and he'll guilt me. Mm. And sometimes I can tell he's drunk, like, when he's calling me. I don't know, he gets emotional when he's drunk. Mm. And he'll, like, say something, like, because you know the voice message? Like, when you call, you leave, like, a intro message, like, hey, I'm so-and-so, I'm not here. He would hear my voice and then, like, leave a message and, like, guilt me and say something like, oh, it was nice to hear your voice, mm-hmm. and, like, hang up, right? And I would get mad.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, how dare you?
Yeah.
You know, like, when it's convenient for you to, like, call me and intrude into my life. And it's always triggering, you know? Every time he calls me, it fucking triggers me. And it frustrates me. Because I'm like, oh, great, all this shit that I'm trying to avoid mm-hmm. and, like, work forward from mm-hmm. in my life and move on from, then all of a sudden comes, like, yeah, like, catches up with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's my that's the extent of communication with my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like there was this, you know, time where you were open, right, to hearing from him, and he was actually really not communicating with you, and then now you've set up this boundary and
he's not respecting it,
right? He's really, yeah.
Actually, I have a funny story. The last time I talked to him was I think it was WhatsApp. He messaged me, and then I just went off on him and, like, just messaged him, but then I also realized he's older and he can't text very fast. So I was just sending him messages and he would be responding to, like, my first, and I was like, this is not working. But I just felt like I had never expressed anger towards him before. And I mean, it was text, so I didn't feel that great because it was kind of lost, I think. Yeah. But, like, I felt better that I was, like, angry and I could be like, hey, like, don't freaking, like, cross my boundaries. I've told you not to talk to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, of course his messages were geared to the same, like, no, like, you know, I'm not to blame, everyone else is to blame. And I realized, like, he's just gonna operate from that place.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just kind of an acceptance, this is where he's at.
Yeah.
But like you said, that was the first time that you actually expressed anger to him.
Yeah.
So what kind of got in the way of anger before?
I think for a long time I didn't express anger outwardly.
Mm.
I think I internalized it. And I became very self-destructive and self-harming, which I know is very more common in women. Yeah. Even with my mom, like, just I would bottle things and then, like, I would feel, like, silenced. And yeah, with him, like, I feel like maybe there was also a feeling that he was a stranger and I had to perform to a degree, you know?
Tell me more. That's interesting, yeah.
Like, you know, when you grow up with your parent, you have a relationship with them and you're kind of, like, flaws and all. Like, they've seen you pissed. They've seen you, like, upset. But, like, because my dad and me never had a relationship, I always felt like I had to be, like, my best self, or, you know, and then it's also confusing, so I, like, couldn't, like, have, you know, a proper conversation with him about, like, my feelings. Yeah.
So who was the best self that you sort of had to be with him?
I don't know, like, polite,
okay.
Kind,
yeah.
Happy, grateful.
Mm.
To, like, because in the short time we would have together, he would try and, like, take me out and, like, I don't know, like, buy me little gifts and things like that. Yeah, I think grateful. Like, I didn't want to seem ungrateful. Yeah, yeah. It's probably the core of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just, like, I'm really grateful for what you're giving me.
Yeah.
Right? Even though, like you said, there's sort of this other part of, it's not quite what I needed, right? You know, in the letter you also talked about dad going back home as opposed to coming to you, right? And that being a painful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Could you say more about that? What made that painful?
Yeah, like he would always say, oh, financially it's hard for me to visit Canada. And also, you know, like your mom's family hates me. Like I... You know, they, like, spread rumors about me. They're not rumors. They're real. And, yeah, he would just make me feel like coming here was an impossibility. But I always felt like, why aren't you trying hard enough? Why aren't you proving to them that, like, you know, but I felt like I couldn't tell him these things. But yeah, he didn't go to Iran just once. Like, he goes to Iran consistently. Yep. And I know the tickets are not cheap, you know, so yeah, it's painful. And then what hurts me more is that he goes there and brags about me. Like, he has bragging rights.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people will be like, how is your daughter? And he'll be like, she's great. She's doing great. And it's because he gets all this information through my brother. Mm-hmm. And that's where the credit thing came about, like, in the letter.
Yep.
Like, that pisses me off.
Yeah.
You know? That, like, he would dare to feel like he has any bragging rights about, like, where I'm at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Dad actually... He really is. It's a thing he's doing.
Yeah.
He's going around.
Yes.
Making it seem, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a relationship when he's not sort of done the work to have one.
He'll tell people how great and successful I am, and then also tell people in the same breath that my mother has brainwashed me and, like, won't let me contact him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, one, I'm, like, defensive of my mother. Mm-hmm. And then I'm also, like, defensive of myself. Again, like, the two issues, right? Like, managing two things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what about communicating hurt? Would that ever be a possibility with him?
I don't know. I have this weird thing where communicating hurt is hard for me with someone that I don't trust very deeply.
Okay.
Because I think it puts me in a vulnerable place. Mm-hmm. To say that they have power over me.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that I trust them enough to acknowledge that he's hurt. Like, to come to someone and say, like, you've hurt me. Like, you're kind of putting the ball in their court, right? And I feel like I don't know that I can do that with him.
Mm-hmm.
I feel... it's easier to express my anger because anger can be very powerful,
mm-hmm.
but hurt can feel powerless to me.
Mm-hmm.
So expressing hurt, I think, would be very hard if it wasn't tied to the anger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if there wasn't, like you said, a trusting relationship where you have some sense of what the other person is going to do,
yeah.
when you... Yes. Sort of let them know, right? What would you say the fear is as to, right? Like you said, being vulnerable in that way and sharing that hurt with someone you don't trust.
I think it's just going to circle it back to some self-victimizing excuse.
Yeah.
So I can see him saying, like, I'm imagining I say, you know, I was hurt, I'm hurt that, like, you haven't been a part of my life. And then he would say, you know, well, your mother and, like, her family, like, just going back to, like, what he does and, like, just dismissive. Mm-hmm. That's what I don't want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
He's not acknowledging that he hurt me.
Yeah.
He's not saying sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've never said that to him, I don't think. I think I've said, like, why weren't you in my life? But I've never said, like, I was hurt.
Yeah.
They weren't in my life. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how he would respond. I don't think any of my brothers have either. They have two brothers. So I don't think anyone said to him, like, you hurt me.
Yeah.
And I think it might shock him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know that he's ever heard that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he hasn't heard it. And then there's a possibility, it sounds, maybe he doesn't realize or hasn't, at the very least, made that known to you. Mm-hmm. That I'm aware.
Yeah.
Yeah, that yeah. I've hurt you. So now I want to learn, you know, what your thoughts are about this process. What are some of the sort of advantages now that you've gone through it? You know, has this process done for you?
I think before writing this, I couldn't tangibly name my needs in terms of what I wanted to hear or be like have him acknowledge.
Mm.
But now I can say, this is what I need to hear from him. Mm. Or have myself know, like, it's almost like when you're experiencing emotional abuse or harm and you can't always name it, or like you can't like make it a tangible thing until now. For me, it's like the harm that he's done isn't just like this thing that's lingering in the air. Like, I can be like, hey, he did these things, the impact was this, and I need this acknowledgement. It's more like articulated. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What were some of the challenges in this process?
The whole process.
Yeah.
Acknowledging heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can
you say more? What makes, you know, what sort of like, what, when you say it's challenging to acknowledge hurt, right?
Yeah.
What piece of it feels challenging?
I think, like, when I think about being 27 and still harboring this childhood hurt.
Yeah.
It makes me feel, I know, like, cognitively that I'm not weak, right? That this is legitimate, but I feel weak, you know? And I think, like, why can't I just, like, overcome this? Why can't I just, like, not need him to say these things, or, like, need to acknowledge him? And so, why can't I just, like, forget about him, right? So that's hard. That made me emotional. I think it's unfair. It feels unfair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I, like, think, how did I come to be from that person?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be so different.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
At least in terms of, like, accountability and, like, introspection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think, you know, like you were talking about earlier, almost this, like, frustration with self. Do you know what I mean? Like, I should be over this.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know if it's shame, but it's like almost like, how can I still be right at this point?
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like you were like swimming against that current.
Yeah.
Right. As you were doing this.
Yeah.
So it's like a really big ask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like guilt. I don't know.
Interesting. Okay.
Like feeling guilty for feeling.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, just like, I don't know if guilt's the right word, but like feeling bad for feeling. I don't know, or being burdened by this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you said it before too, it's unfair.
Yeah.
Right? So you didn't even ask for this particular thing, but you're with it. Or it's with you in some way.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I was just also thinking about the letter and, like, why it's hard. I think I hate having to, like, explain his absence to people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when people, not towards the person, but, like, towards him. Like, I'm like, oh, like, why do I have to keep telling people that you're not dead, but, like, you're very absent, you know? Like, it's almost like he's burdened me with that, too. To have to keep explaining, like, oh yeah, no, my father's, like, here on this earth, but completely useless.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's angering, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's another piece about what made it, challenging to do. So I just want to learn now, then, thinking about the Muslim community.
Yeah.
Because a part of, I think, one of the goals is to maybe equip however we imagine the Muslim community, whether it's actual institutions or more diffuse, how they can better support,
Yeah.
Muslim women. So if you think about yourself, you know, in this emotional pain, what would have been helpful to you?
Well, depending what community you're with or a part of, mm-hmm. for me, my religious community, my like Muslim background, constantly has this, like they perpetuate this belief that you should always express kindness towards your parent and no matter how they act with you, and like that is like your duty as a child. And I think that's very painful. It can be very painful to feel like you owe them something for their harm, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like not mm-hmm. for their harm, mm-hmm. but like even despite the harm, like kind of like you as a child mm-hmm. have to be grateful, you know, it goes back to that gratefulness.
Yeah.
Like, I think that makes it really hard to talk about families and how families can be complex. And, you know, even if, like, the parent isn't absent physically, emotional absence, or, like, acknowledging that, like, trauma is intergenerational and not thinking that if your child is asking something of you or challenging you, that it necessarily means that it don't have love for you or appreciation for you. Mm-hmm. And yeah, mm-hmm. like I think like we need to talk about parenting as a reciprocal like relationship with children, not just that like the parent is the authority and that is that end all be all. Mm-hmm. Because I think that can be really harmful. Mm-hmm. That like accountability needs to exist in parenting too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when I think about, like, my Muslim background and upbringing, that is a huge thing, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Like, even my mother, who's been harmed, mm-hmm. will say, like, no, like, you have to still love your father. You have to still, you know, you don't have to have a relationship with him, but you have to love him. And that's mm-hmm. so hard to hear,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's like, harmful too, you know? Yeah. To be told, like, mm-hmm. you have to love this person that has literally done nothing good for you mm-hmm. just because you came from their flesh and blood, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because in there I'm hearing, like, you know, you have your own feelings about it, but then you're sort of being told, no matter what your feelings are,
yeah,
you must feel love.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe, I don't know, sometimes I think, like, maybe forgiveness. I've forgiven people in my life, mm-hmm. and I know what it feels like to be relieved mm-hmm. of, like, holding on to, like, that pain or, like, that anger. Mm-hmm. But for me, this pain lives on, you know? And, like, I don't know how to come to forgiveness and love with him. And I don't know that I ever will. And to be told, like, that is, like, the only possible outcome. Not necessarily forgiveness, but, like, to love him is, like, such a... It's, like, shocking almost to, like, think of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, yeah, again, you said such powerful things. Like you said, I've forgiven people, but this lives on.
Yeah.
Right? So meaning, like, it's almost hard to forgive.
Yeah.
Right? When
it's active,
yeah. Right? Like, this person hasn't stopped,
yeah,
right, doing what it was,
yeah,
that you might want to forgive them for, and then but still being expected,
yeah,
from another perspective, right, to do that.
Yeah.
So it's like, how on earth?
Yeah, you know, it's like you can have, let's say, friends that, like, you have a falling out with and they really harmed you, but you've decided to cut them off and, like, you live your life and you eventually may come to a point of forgiveness. But with, like, my father, it's like his absence is still active.
Yeah.
And his intrusiveness is still active. Mm-hmm. There's no, like, acknowledgement. There's no accountability. And it's consistent. You know, mm-hmm. till he dies or I die, right? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, yeah, it's not like, you know, a cut and dry relationship where, like, I'm like, okay, forgive him. And then, like, we stop interacting or, yeah, it's not as, like, I think, cut and dry is like a friendship. might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's way more sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Intertwined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, something I think about is my nieces and nephews.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad has also been absent in there. Like, he'll, like, promise to visit them, then not see them for years, then, like, come back. And the kids, like, get attached. You know, he's their maternal grandmother. So my sister-in-law's father passed long before they were born. And they've come to a point where they've told their own father, my brother, that they don't want to see him anymore. They're like, okay. We don't want to see grandpa.
Yeah.
You know? And, like, that makes me sad.
Yeah.
When a child has to be the adult. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That adds, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When a child has to set boundaries.
Yeah. For me, that goes back to you as well. You were doing that with dad, and now...
For sure.
Yeah, your niece and nephew are too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I truly do believe in this concept of, like, the village, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do we... Like, how do we support families beyond just, like, the family itself? Like, if a child is facing an issue, you know, when we think about, for me, things like reputation, right? So, like I said, like, a lot of kids or parents even don't want to talk about their family issues because they're scared, like, other people will judge them. Or, and this happens within, like, Muslim communities too. And, like, how do we make space for these conversations as a community, you know? So, like, how do we stop chastising each other for real shit and real problems that we have? Because, again, everybody has problems. And, like, or how do we hold space for parents to talk about these things? How do we hold space for kids? Like, how can we as a community work together to, like, it takes vulnerability, right? But then with vulnerability comes validation, like, just... what happened, right?
Beautifully put. Yes. Yeah.
And, like, I think until we're not ready to risk that vulnerability and we're constantly in this phase of, like, performance and reputation, then, like, we can't open ourselves up to, like, hold each other. But, like, if each of us were able to, like, say, hey, you know, oh, your dad left your family too. Me too. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how does it make you feel? Like, let's talk about this. Instead of being like, oh, I can't tell anyone, like, that my fam is like this. Or it opens up, like, space to, like, validate one another. And then also, like, think of ways it impacts each other and how we can support each other. As opposed to, like, being a kid alone, isolated, just trying to explain why your dad is absent, let's say. Yeah. Or... yeah. And I think, like, this individualistic culture is a result of colonialism, like, the industrial age, like, or capitalism, all these things, you know, factor into it. And I think our people have been in survival mode, you know? So I understand, like, I understand where reputation is important. I understand, like, it was integral to, like, being able to bring an income to your family and stuff, like, all this stuff is very real. But then it's like, how do we now move away from those colonial systems that were, like, placed on us and kind of reconnect with our roots?
Mm.
And that's hard because literally we live in a world that upholds individualism, right? Like, mm-hmm. when, like, mental health is emerging, an emerging conversation, we always think we have to, like, you know, pick ourselves up and, like, do something. Or so it's not easy work, but I think, like, this is making space for it, you know? Like, yeah. And then not always like, empathy, that's the word. And, like, being able to empathize even through difference, right? Like, me and you are different, right? And I can acknowledge and respect your difference in your life and your race and your ethnicity. But I can, like, yeah, like, empathize and, like, make space for it, not feeling like, what do you call it? Dismissed, or like making space for you is like taking space away from me.
Project Apology is brought to you by the Tessalit Institute. It was recorded and edited by me, Arij Elmi, featuring music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you for listening.